Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Went pretty well, I'd say.
I do not know to what you are referring. We have not started the repair.
I mean, talking to my team. I've had good bosses and bad ones. I just don't want to repeat their mistakes.
Your caution is warranted. Statistically, ensigns serving under recently promoted commanders are more likely to experience death and or dismemberment.
Death?
Yes, and or dismemberment.
Well, luckily this mission's pretty tame. It's just swapping out some terminals.
The component pieces are unstable and could detonate at any moment. The retrofit must be conducted in precise order or the terminal will explode.
It's like disarming a building-sized bomb?
The similarity is not inaccurate.
All right, gang, who's ready to be careful?
I got my notes. I got my flippity-flops.
I got my flippity-flops. Oh, no. I got my flippity-flops. Hey, hey.
That's not a song.
My name is Jesse. Got my flippity-flops. A flippity-flip-flip. Floop-flip-flop. My name's Jesse. Got a flippity-flop. I got a floop-flip-flop and a floppity-doop.
All right. Let's start the podcast.
My name's Jesse. Floopity-floop. Oh, floop-floop-floopity. Floopity-floop.
It's not Jesse. That is Dan.
My name's Floopy. Floopity-floop.
That's very clearly
Floop-floop-floop-floop.
Everybody knows it.
That's Dan fraudulently presenting himself.
Presenting himself
as if he were Jesse, yeah. Taking advantage of the audio format of the medium, which makes it difficult sometimes to differentiate between the three otherwise very distinct hosts. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
My name is Dan.
We're extending to you out there in the audience.
I pretend that I'm Jesse.
Fuck, Winamp is like decided. It's like I'm trying to figure out what sound this is, but it just decided to give it this really long name that, and it gave the two
My
files
name is
from the
long.
Same episode the same long name, and it only differentiates at the very end, but it's off the fucking screen. Sorry, it's not important.
It's
frustration I'm having with Winamp.
These are things that we have to deal with. These are challenges that we face putting on an entertainment program week after week.
Luckily, I don't rely on Winamp normally, but now there's a special circumstance for extra sound files.
All right.
Okay.
Special. Make it sound so sinister. No, we're trying an alternate setup, and we're still working through the kinks. But the important thing is,
I'm doing my same old setup over here.
Jesse's got the same old setup.
No, it gave these two files the same fucking file name. What the fuck is that?
That's not supposed to work that
or
not way.
Or the same title or whatever. Winamp decides to display to you.
Maybe it's only showing part of it.
No, I opened up the whole thing. Okay, now I'm feeling bad because we're talking about something that is potentially boring.
This is nerd talk.
Is this potentially boring?
I think it's more than just potential.
I don't know.
This isn't the time for your computer comedy.
That's right. We are here tonight on the It's Got Star Trek podcast on the 206th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What?
The 206th episode.
What? Jesse got a kick out of that one.
It's the 206th episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. There's nothing special about that number. And on tonight's episode, we will be discussing Star Trek Lower Decks Season 4, Episode 3, In the Cradle of Vexilon.
Evidence!
No evidence beyond the remainder of this conversation.
I'm just going to have
necessary.
To... For the rest of the files...
Oh, you're testing out your file.
For the rest... No, I mean, I did that on purpose,
well, okay.
But it got me thinking. For the rest of the files, the other sound files I have, they're properly named. It's just these two DS9 ones are fucking named the exact same thing.
But
so
you sorted
to,
out which one is
well,
which.
Yeah,
not,
I'll have
not
to,
doing
I'll have to remember their position in the list. Luckily, I don't depend on this entirely. It's just a little extra, but... Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm really sorry about
no,
that.
I mean,
I'm derailing
for
everything.
For the audience at home, they can't see... Like, like Dan's setup, he could be flying a runabout with all the knobs and dials he has in front of it. Well, he's got
a full console.
He's got a laptop and an iPad, but
totally, my man.
but what are you gonna do? Okay, Lower Decks.
Yes, really.
Lower Decks season 4. We're continuing our weekly coverage of this television program. And
is it called television anymore? Isn't it called like
streaming?
Video
streaming makes me think of pee-pee.
Video entertainment.
It doesn't. Streaming does not always make me think of pee-pee, but it frequently makes me think
like
of pee-pee.
It's like when smear makes me think of spreading poop on things.
Oh, damn.
Like yeah,
when you smear butter on your toast, you're smearing poop on your toast.
I don't do that.
So the thing is like, I didn't have that problem with smear until you kept bringing this up,
yeah.
And now it's like you've given me this problem.
Yeah, whenever people talk about smearing things, I think about diarrhea or maybe even like not diarrhea, just like the kind of real spreadable poop, like you know, on bread, like baguettes or something.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
I think you need to make an appointment with Dr. Migliemoo. Work through some of these.
He can help you
just
with
like,
the food
just
stuff.
Just like Dirk. Issues. Dirk. His name is Dirk.
Oh yeah, was this character somebody we'd met before?
I don't know.
I couldn't remember.
Maybe like we've met that kind of person before in real life.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
So we're gonna play. Anyway, we've done all the intro stuff. It's got Star Trek. It's got Star Trek 206th episode, and it's in the mountains of madness, in the cradle of Vexilon.
Not in the mouth of madness. That was that Sam Neill.
Oh, that's a great movie. Flick. It's not a great movie, but it's a great movie.
There's a scene where he's like all running away from some darkness, and it's all scary.
He can't leave the town. He always ends up back in the town. Sam Neill. Any movie with Sam Neill is
good.
Wait,
I think that was the movie where there's a trailer where he's all running away from some
darkness.
Yeah,
but he's clearly running in place.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. That's the one. That's
it doesn't matter because he improves any movie he's in. Sam Neill is the best. I want to try his wine. I hear it's pretty good.
I wonder if
Two Paddocks wine.
I wonder if the when they called him back when they called limited series, they called the mini series. I wonder if Merlin holds up.
Merlin is awesome, and I have it, and I haven't watched it so I can't tell you if it holds up or not.
Yeah, I remember. I remember enjoying
Gulliver,
it.
Gulliver's Travels with Ted Nansen.
Oh, I never saw that, but I remember when it came out. I remember when it came out.
But totally the Merlin had Martin Short in it.
Love Martin Short.
Among with various other people.
Martin Short's awesome.
But this tiny digression aside, we're going to come back to the old Star Trek topic.
Well, you got to.
Well, we don't have to.
That's what the podcast is.
It's what's been advertised.
It's got Star Trek.
Please continue.
We could, of course, talk about all manner of other things.
We will.
And we do. Off air, but if you want to make arrangements with us, some sort of special arrangements, we can call you up on the phone or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, we'll do a Zoom
on our Patreon. We'll call you up on the phone and talk to you for a little bit.
Do we record it or do we just we just call people?
No, it's like doing a cameo, except you don't have to record it. You just have to talk to the person live.
We'll be like, what are you doing? I'll be like, well, I'm having dinner. And be like, cool, awesome. That sounds neat. What you eating?
You have nice forks.
That all being said, that's not what we're doing because this is the Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a Star Trek podcast, not the Star Trek podcast. It's got Star Trek.
It's got Star Trek.
Which is one of many excellent Star Trek podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
At least within a certain range of excellence.
There's a couple.
There's a ton of good ones out there. So go listen to those as well.
Just an amateur lack of focus and balance.
Yes, exactly. That's what they get.
That's what you get.
That's what you get.
You knew what you were signing up for, unless this is your first time listening, and well, fuck you.
It's a form of aggressive infotainment.
Yeah, infotainment.
Right? Infotainment. That's you come to It's Got Star Trek, you're like, why am I listening to these guys? It's like, because why not?
Infotainment.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Might as well.
It's informative entertainment.
Anyway, we'll get to the main bit.
Everything that has ever occurred is science stuff.
Which I agree with.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
Talyn rules.
Yeah, Talyn is cool.
I think
She when the mountain grew out, when she discovered the mountain was a volcano, she looked like she was really digging that. That was the first time she was emotional. The other time, she almost got emotional when Boimler went flying through the air, all
she
exploded.
Sort of scared.
She got scared. Yeah. And then he like violently landed on the ground. Pretty upsetting.
That was really. Yeah.
And then that one dude started barfing.
He got exploded.
Well, yeah, that was fucked up.
Another thing you can expect from the It's Got Star Trek podcast is that we will frequently discuss the end prior to the rest of the episode.
Spoiler alert!
He got really singed, too.
Spoiler alert!
It was dark.
He did get salsa.
He got cooked.
He got cooked.
He did get cooked. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that in a bit.
Has anyone ever called a title of something spoiler alert before?
You're pulling out another device.
What are you doing? Oh my God. I mean, no joke.
I forgot my Bluetooth keyboard.
Bluetooth.
I was like, what is going on here?
Good God, man.
It's just like hot wiring shit in the middle of the thing. It's like, oh, I gotta pull out my USB hub.
I gotta put in my Bluetooth keyboard, but it's like...
and you're intermingling iOS and Windows 11 or some shit, you know? It's crazy. It's madness over here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You are truly an iconoclast in the podcasting universe.
Yeah, I have to hook it up by line, though, not because the battery's dead, so I have to hook it up directly anyway.
All this information is extremely helpful to getting a full picture of the situation that you're encountering.
It's chaos.
Okay. Star Trek, Lower Decks. I thought we would start with a game. I thought up a new game. Dan's the one who usually comes up with the clever games.
Wait,
this time,
is it? Is it called?
Alamo Rain.
No.
It's not called that one?
No. Though that was awesome. It was awesome. No, the new game. Hold on.
Lemon meringue.
Lieutenant Tendy.
Lemon meringue.
The new game is called Guess Patrick's Main Critique.
Okay.
Of this episode.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is
please
again,
continue.
It's called, this new game is called Guess Patrick's Main Critique. Of the episode, Jesse and Dan will be the main players, but they are audience surrogates. The audience, you can play at home.
Oh, snap.
You can play this game at home.
What if they beat us?
Now, to be fair, I like this episode. I was entertained by this episode, but I did have an overarching critique that applies to the swath of this episode. So you guys have to guess. Buzz in. Who has got a first guess? We'll give
what
you guys.
It's not
like 10 or 12 guesses a piece.
It's like an.
I just have to blindly guess. There's no.
You have to blindly guess. You've seen the episode.
And you have to blithely guess.
You might have the similar critique as I do.
Blithely,
or maybe this issue that I perceive.
This is
maybe you did not.
This
perceive
is thematic.
This
thematic throughout the episode.
I would say it's structural. There's like a structural. That's a hint.
Mm-hmm.
Something about how they design this story. How this story works out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're just saying you're not guessing.
Well, I don't want dead air. Something about the way Freeman and Boimler's story came together near the end. Something about
good
that.
Guess, but no.
Damn it! I'm so stupid.
I will add another clue. Actually, I don't know how much of a clue this is. This was a very competently written episode. From a writing standpoint, from a plotting standpoint, all the little interweavings and sort of what you described there, where the two stories come back.
Yeah, I kind of liked that.
Well,
part.
That was well done.
I was into that, so I'm just trying to figure out.
It was textbook.
It was textbook.
It was textbook.
In a good way.
That's a clue. It was a textbook, highly competently written episode.
Oh,
Main critique.
Okay, well, this is probably not your main critique, but I did have a couple of things, and this is not straying away from your game. I'm wondering if of my stuff
goes. This game has been, I'm telling you, it's a great idea. It's a clever idea because it's meant to generate conversation on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast, which we're recording, which people will have been listened to.
Yes. Oh, yes, that's it.
I thought the setup for like when Freeman was talking about like stand down, Jack. I minored in archaic technology back at the academy. That was a dead giveaway that like something wasn't going to go right with that scenario, and that kind of kicked off that whole plot where it was just kind of like it was like okay, this is obviously not gonna. But there were two sort of predictable aspects. There was that, and then there was that joke about modern art joke was a little predictable when they
it's
was
interesting because you're using the term predictable but in perhaps a different way than I might use the term predictable, which is another hint. Jesse, what do you think?
Wait, I know what you want to mean.
I'm actually
by
not really sure. I'm trying to think about.
Should I have said hackneyed? Maybe I should have said hackneyed.
Hackneyed is a good adjective.
Yeah, the modern art one where they were like they were talking about like oh our modern art shit, and then Ransom's like oh yeah I see it shit, and they're like no that was the good one, and then they point to the bad one which looks like the same as the good one. That was a little like that's pretty predictable kind of joke,
but well performed. Well structured.
I mean, like, oh jeez.
Oh jeez.
Something about
I'm not trying to stress you.
Okay, did it have to do
with conversation? You guys are freaking out.
Did it have to do with motivation behind, cuz there was three basic things of like three different stories of
yeah, it's like an A, B, and C story.
Well, oh,
Jesus Christ. Okay.
This was about like this was the three stories all had a common theme of about sort of responsibility and how you handle responsibility. Whereas, you know, Freeman's, her responsibility was to be the you know, the captain, the order giver. But then she had some sort of amount of pride.
I am the order giver.
She had some amount of pride going.
I'm the decider. I am the decider.
She had some amount of pride going on where she was like, oh, well, I'm going to do this specialist job to prove that I still got it. Whereas Boimler, he had the opposite problem where he wanted to do the sort of like mundane stuff, not the mundane, but he wanted to do the very specific. He didn't want to delegate either. But whereas Freeman didn't want to just delegate because she wanted to prove that she could still do specialized stuff. She was trying to go outside of her job description. Boimler was afraid to come into his job description, which was, and so it resulted in both of them not doing their managerial work because like, but for different reasons. Hers was pride because she wanted to prove she could do it. And Boimler's was fear because he was like, he wasn't sure that he could do it. And then there was responsibility.
And then there was, of course,
issues with responsibility with the rest of the gang because like this whole, they were given a task and they were like, well, I don't know. Should we be, because, you know, should we be doing this shit? So that's the common thread. Mm. This is why I'm saying all this because this was the common thread for the episode for me. So I'm trying to figure out, it must have something to motivation to do with one of those three stories of like why they were in that jam in the first place. And you didn't and where mine was like the Freeman was predictable when she saw, as soon as she said, hey, like I've got this shit.
Hey now.
When as soon as she said, well, I've got this, I can do this. Yeah, back off. I can do this. It was a dead giveaway. It was going to be a problem. Maybe you had a problem with the way Boimler was behaving as a manager and how he was fucking it up, and you didn't think that he would fuck it up like that or something.
You're getting there. You're getting real close. You're getting so close. I'm liable to give you some credit for points.
Oh wow,
you're getting very close.
You
haven't quite articulated. Mm-hmm. What I'm getting at, but since it's obviously causing some degree of stress, I'll go ahead.
Totally, my man.
I'll go ahead and
say, damn it, I'm so stupid.
What I think, I found all three of these storylines, the A, B, and C plots, they were just super standard plots.
Well, yeah,
like a person is given a promotion and has trouble delegating responsibility is an old joke. It's an old sitcom thing. It's management school thing. It's like the classic. Right. I remember being told that in Boy Scouts. You have to delegate as a leader.
I mean, when you watch
Chili's training videos,
but when you watch any the Chili's and the Moonies, they were Chili's world. Apparently, the founders of Chili's and Brinker were involved with the Moonies.
The Moonies being a sort of a cult of some sort,
some kind of
business,
like group marriage thing or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sure there's a Wikipedia page.
Mm-hmm. So
we encourage our audience to go.
I mean,
learn on your own.
It's like every episode, kind of every show has the same sort of set of like overall themes of episodes. They all touch the same ones. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to play the role of this person today, and this person's going to play the role of me today. And this is the episode how we learn how difficult each other's lives is.
But let me articulate better what I'm getting at, which is that because I'm a strong proponent of it's fine to use tropey storylines. I don't have a problem with that.
Instead of doing the joke where we go like, you know, it's got this, it's got this. Can we change the joke to have a different format? So it's like, it's not like it's got reasons we like this episode. It'd be called instead, it's fine to use. Because you just said it's fine to use. Because you imagine if our podcast followed that sentence structure? Instead of it's got something. It's
I don't remember the context I said it in, though.
You were talking about something being
fine. Oh, yes, it's fine to use.
That'd be the name of our podcast. This is It's Got Star Trek.
No idea.
And here's
where
our next podcast. It's called It's Fine to Use.
You know what I mean? Because
it still begins with the word it.
That's Dan, pretty good.
Dan.
I like it.
You might be onto something there.
Yeah,
I don't think we did.
Okay. All right. It's madness. There's multiple caveats here. to my primary critique of this episode. Multiple caveats are, A, like I said, I did enjoy this episode. I enjoyed the performances. I thought it was competently and tightly written and all that. My problem is that not one, not two, but all three. Mm-hmm. That's the ticket. All three of these storylines that are going on in this episode are just really standard storyline. Mm-hmm. And so the Boimler one, again, is a super standard one. Now, I also think it's necessary. I think you need to see Boimler adjusting. You would expect Boimler to have to go through this process. We might as well see it. Mm-hmm. I just feel they also didn't do anything particularly unique with it. Like, it just, the arc that Boimler went through, you knew exactly what that arc was going to be from the beginning. He would refuse to delegate until he was convinced by Talin to delegate. And that's exactly what happened. Great. All the individual bits were really entertaining, really cool, but standard storyline. And then the whole, we got promoted and now we're being hazed. Fairly standard storyline.
And of course they were being hazed? Were they not being hazed? And of course they were being hazed.
And again, competently done, but whatever. And finalize my point real quick, then with the Captain Freeman situation, that was an inversion on the Star Trek trope of the evil computer and they're trying to destroy the evil computer. Now, the inversion is we're trying to save the really good computer. I like that, but even that inversion is fairly predictable. And then the storyline goes, there's nothing surprising happens in the storyline. Captain Freeman tries a couple times and each time causes more problems and then solves it in the end.
Yeah, there's even like a line Freeman says. She says, fortunately, Vexilon is a benevolent ally with no interest in world domination, which is basically the joke on the computer thing.
So. And it is a funny joke. And like I said, I was enjoying all of this and there are some really great character moments throughout this episode, which we can discuss in a little bit more detail. But anyway, just from a higher up level, and again, maybe you guys didn't feel this. This might be unique to me. But when I was watching this, I just felt a little like, okay, nothing unpredictable is happening. Nothing as clever as I've gotten used to on Lower Decks.
Well, what I can relate to is the reason I brought up the two predictable parts for me was like the modern art joke was like pretty predictable joke. It's like, you know, which is shit and which is good modern art, that kind of joke. And then, like I said a few times already, where how Freeman like just jumps in, and he's like, "No, I got this." And of course, that's your clue; it's going to go wrong. So yes, from the start, there were a few sort of like predictable aspects and themes.
I was thinking about, remember that episode where Boimler has to save Tendi because Tendi's turned into the insect monster, and then Boimler's solution is to like kind of do pratfalls and goofy stuff and cover himself in cake and stuff like that. Like, that storyline is pretty standard in terms of like friend helping other friend, but it was very creative in how they went through it. I thought this was a little less out there, a little less creative, but still good.
Each one of them is not you don't feel as creative, but have they ever put them all together like that before, side by side?
I think maybe that's the other thing that pushed it a little bit for me, was that every single one of these storylines was sort of the same. Not the same as each other in terms of the vibe. It just was very straightforward. It's like, boom, here's the story. And within the first minute, you kind of know which direction it's going to go. No,
but like I was saying earlier, though, it's kind of interesting to compare and contrast, because what I was saying earlier was the reason Freeman went outside of her comfort zone.
That, I think, is great. Yeah.
Was to prove that it was like a pride thing. She was trying to prove that she could still do the specialist work. And the reason Boimler was she was like, she was getting hands-on. Thank you. She was getting really hands-on, but that's because she wanted proof she could do it.
As opposed to handsy.
So she was trying to go outside of her role.
Which, like, I thought was a very good observation that I didn't notice because I was distracted by the banality of the plot.
Right, yeah.
But then, saw it, and now that you mentioned it, I'm like, okay, that's a really good and then the mirror of the Boimler situation.
Right, and the Boimler who is afraid to like sort of grow into his role. Right, you know, so... Right, and I don't know if there was really any intention to do that there, but it is kind of interesting to sort of witness the different sort of things that people have to go through when they're dealing with managers. Because it does suck that when you have a manager that, like, doesn't trust their employees, and they want, and it's like, maybe you could do this better than I could, but like, you can't do everything. And part of like this team getting better is that we all practice and learn to get better. Yes, you could do it better, but you're not that many people, and we're not learning to do our jobs in the future. In the long run, you're not doing your job. And it's really frustrating because I've dealt on both sides. I've had managers like that, and I've also had to deal with other, you know, teams where they have someone, a representative who's like that. I'm just like, I don't care how you do it. Just like, get this shit done for me, please.
It kind of reminds me when sometimes you'll have an episode of Star Trek where somebody will be like, I'll pilot the shuttle. And they're like, well, you haven't piloted a shuttle because you're the captain. He's like, well, I think, you know, I could. And you think about it, you're like, no, I don't want the guy who hasn't flown an airplane in 20 years to be like flying the airplane. I know it's different in Star Trek land, but still, it's a similar kind of thing.
There was another sort of an example of experience versus ability, because like, chances are, who knows, Freeman might have had just as much ability to solve that problem, ability, as Billups did. But the difference is Billups has experience because he's dealt with that stuff all the time.
It's not a class he took in college.
Right. And so maybe Freeman went through all the correct steps to update that OS, but because the OS is all goofy and has some weird flibbly flarps about it, like, she wasn't aware of this weird edge case. But, and that's something that it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. It takes experience to be able to pick up, like, oh, I remember this model. It's supposed to work like this. But actually, there's this weird quirk that you have to do this first. And that's the kind of stuff Billups would definitely have an advantage over, because he does the thing, like, day in and day out.
What's that poem you're always talking about finding knowledge, or boys get knowledge, or girls get knowledge? Something Venus and penis?
Whatever. Yeah, it's
Jupiter.
Boys go to Jupiter to get more stupider.
Yeah.
Girls go to Mars to get more NARS.
NARS, yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Girls go to college to get more knowledge, and boys go to Jupiter to get more stupider.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. You just, something you said along the way, I started thinking about that. I couldn't recall what it was. The rest of what you were saying, I'm sure, was really great. But I just got
fuck
in my
you, man.
No. I sincerely believe
school.
It was.
They don't have schools.
But it was driving me nuts because I could not remember the poetry. The poem.
The poetry.
They don't have schools on Jupiter, so.
Well.
You're not going to get smarter.
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien, indeed. How about this? I recommend we take.
Take a break.
A brief break.
Jesse, break. Right. Jesse, now it's your turn. Go.
Dan, break.
Jesse, break.
Dan, break.
It's time to break.
So it's a
first break.
Break.
Okay. Just to let the audience in, because we have had people ask this. They're like, what do you guys do during a break? You just like keep recording immediately, or do you do you actually take a break?
No. Yeah,
we take a break, and I have to get Dan and Jesse to run around the yard a little bit.
No.
Just an amateur lack of focus.
To get some of their energy out. And then when we come back, then we can be a little bit more coherent. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll get a little bit more into the details and the nitty-gritty of these three plots.
Oh, man.
In the mountains of Vexilon's butt. All right.
Why?
We'll be right back. Bye-bye. No, not bye-bye.
Oh, shit. You idiot.
Damn it, I'm so stupid.
You idiot.
Okay, we'll be back. Okay, can we be back now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
Everything's fine.
Neck.
Everything's fine. What was he saying? Beck.
Neck.
What's he saying?
I don't know.
Neck.
I don't even have the context. I can't remember the context. That was Billups laughing about something.
What sound does a chicken make in France, Dan?
It's like, pichois.
No, that's not right.
Pichwa. And like a...
Well, if you're listening in France...
And a cat is like, cur, 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 cur.
Un chat. If you are listening in France and wish to correct us or inform
and
us
And you're
about
not
what,
wearing any pants.
What sounds a chicken makes.
And you do the hula
let
dance.
Let us know. What sound does Paramount Plus make in the south of France, Marseille or Aix-en-Provence or Nice.
What sound?
I hear it's Nice. I hear it's Nice. I love when Jesse laughs, but control. Dan doesn't. When Dan's just like, oh, guys, come on.
He's looking at his watch.
He's just staring at us. Can we get with the program, guys?
Come on, guys. Can we get with the program?
Can we get back to providing high quality?
Come on, guys.
We're already a half hour into this nonsense.
Coherent discussion.
Oh, man. I'm so impatient about what's going on.
No one suggested impatience.
I just want to move on.
More of a fully justified frustration.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
It's just a different vibe when Jesse's laughing versus when Dan's laughing. Like when Dan's laughing and Jesse's not laughing, there's a whole different thing going on.
When I'm just frowning.
When you're all, mostly it's everyone's laughing together. But sometimes sometimes I'm not laughing. That's funny too.
You know what question I one of the questions I had
What was one of the questions?
I am Vaxalon. Welcome to your new world. I will now regenesis installation to default settings. Okay. Initiating fjords.
Fjords.
Damn, dude. Why would you do that?
He's a dick.
Why would that be a
he
setting?
He turned all those clouds to ice and they all fell from the sky. I didn't even register what was going on at first. I was like, whoa, what the fuck? And then it was like, oh, yeah, they're ice. It's because they're clouds and what condensation.
And when the cloud fell on the art people got away, but then a couple of them started like immediately painting it.
I missed that.
Clouds is water.
They were all freaked out at first, and then a couple of them were like, oh, okay, and they started painting the chunks of ice.
I totes missed that.
The chunks of the cloud ice landed on whatever they were painting.
We love Vexilon.
One of the issues I had, which is a small issue, but was when, what's his name? Dirk is messing with him and he goes, those isolinear chips run some of the most important systems on the ship. If one fails, it could be fatal. Hmm. Like, isn't it a dead giveaway that he's fucking with them then?
Yeah.
Because as we know, the three fundamental principles of information security is confidentiality.
That's number one.
Integrity.
Two.
And availability.
What?
Three.
Now, redundancy is a key portion of this, and that can
be... Is that a sub-bullet under which one of
those? Well, redundancy is huge, and that would actually could be covered... You arguably be covered by integrity and availability. Redundancy, because you want your data to not be corrupted, have integrity, but you also want it to be available, and so if you have redundancy, is higher availability. So it's super...
That.
So point is redundancy is super important. So you're trying to say that there's hundreds of chips...
You should give TED Talks.
There's hundreds of... Thank you. There's hundreds...
No, I think he's good enough, he should be giving Dan Talks.
Yes! Oh, yes, that's it.
So you're trying to tell me that...
Totally, my man.
All right.
I was saying hundreds of chips with no backup. Like, okay, obviously he was fucking with him, so he was joking, but that should have been the giveaway. Not the fact that he gave him an important job to do. She was like, oh yeah, well if you really had to do this, why wouldn't you do it yourself? Like, I don't think that would have been enough reason to accuse him, but that redundancy issue. And in fact, Tenney was giving him shit, saying like, oh, if it was so important, you'd do it yourself. Well, that was the exact problem Boimler was having. He wasn't letting people do things when they were important. She was like, why wouldn't you do it yourself if it was so important? But that was what the Boimler problem. Boimler problem is that he felt it was so important.
Paradox.
Boimler felt it was so important that he had to do it by himself.
He didn't. Specifically, with Boimler, he didn't want to risk their lives. Is also part of it.
Yes, he didn't want to. He didn't have confidence in his ability in his job, so he didn't have confidence in his ability to delegate.
He didn't trust them to not do it. Right. He was like, I've got to do it.
And he was afraid to tell them what to do. He was afraid he's going to, like, assign them a task that was outside of their ability.
Who was that big blue
and
guy?
Basically, if they died, he was going to take the... He was going to be...
He's a sexy big blue guy.
I don't think I've seen that guy before.
Anyway, so like I said, Tendi was accusing Dirk of, like, you should have done it yourself. Dirk. It was so important.
Whereas, we saw the Zinti guy.
Dirk.
Zinti, he's been there before.
Yeah,
Let me just finish this point. Tendi was saying... Dirk, you should have done it yourself. It was so important. But Boimler's problem...
Dirk, you should have done better.
Wait, you just finish the fucking point. Finish the fucking point. Is it that hard?
Yes.
All right.
So Tendi was saying, if it was so important, you should have done it yourself, boss. But that was the problem with Boimler, is he thought it was too important that he had, so he did it himself because he felt it was so important. So those were in direct clashes. The themes were in direct clashing with each other, if that made any sense.
Yes.
I think you guys just stopped listening to me, honestly.
It's not that we stopped listening to you. It's that we sussed out the point. You made an excellent point. You made it really well early on.
Right.
And then you were rephrasing it.
I know.
And then you were repeating it.
I know.
Because, for emphasis.
Right. Well, I know because like I kept getting interrupted. So when I get interrupted,
totally understandable.
I don't know that my point is actually coming across because my brain gets all fried inside.
And in the audience, the way this plays out in the audience is there's like thousands of people who are like, oh my God, they keep interrupting Dan. And they're like, oh, well, you know, Dan already did say it like three times. Like,
yeah.
No. It's a churning, all sorts of awesomeness happening.
But this is like the way my brain works. That when I get interrupted
my
like that,
brain.
See, this doesn't happen when Jesse's not on the podcast.
Where's the stylophone?
When
Jesse needs a stylophone.
I got a kalimba.
He's got the kalimba again. Well, he hasn't. Well, that's last week he was playing it when he was checking out, but like this time he hasn't checked out yet.
My
week.
Problem is that when I get
which is a good sign.
When I get interrupted when I'm making a point, my brain gets short circuited, yeah. And I don't realize that I'm making the point. I can't tell that I've been making the point.
No, it's totally understandable.
It's a total brain. My brain is kind of
it's awful. It's
miswired like that.
It's absolutely. Awful behavior. It's not good podcasting.
No, but my brain should know when I've made the point, and I shouldn't have to repeat myself. When I'm saying I shouldn't feel the need, like when I make my point, I should understand that I've made the point, and I should trust myself.
Yeah.
Like Boimler should trust his managerial
skills.
You're
learning a lesson from this episode.
I should trust myself that I've already made the point three times.
And separately, it is precisely this collection of flaws that the three of us have lubricated by the foundation of friendship that to provide some degree of entertainment.
Lubricated.
As we discussed, what's wrong with talking about? We're friends. We can be lubricated.
Lubricated.
Yes, it's a metaphorical lubrication because we're buddies.
Yeah.
We're buddies.
Metaphorical.
We all like poke each other. We like poke.
Just call us Pokemons.
So the whole
so
anomaly storage thing, like most of the funnier jokes, I thought came from that.
Isn't the time for your computer comedy.
And it was funny stuff, but do you think they just kind of threw that in there?
Is it a Unitronic?
Okay, that joke I really like.
Yeah.
Because it's a duotronic.
Yeah.
Multi-track.
Is it a Unitronic?
Paul Scheer is just, of course, always great. But Jesse, the room was one of those things where I really loved it. I loved seeing all the stuff they had in there. I loved all the gags. And they had some like Easter egg gags, but they also invented some new stuff.
Right.
Just to be like, there's new stuff we don't even know about that's in here. On the other hand, I was sort of like, oh man, they've got like all like these specific things like the right. So I'm not sure if I needed the Beta Z box.
I miss my wife.
And the
that was funny.
The inner light thing.
Yes, the inner light thing zapped the box.
Was that an entire simulated life?
But the box is supposedly not sentient. So would it matter? Yeah. And I don't know. It's just a little mixing of metaphors there.
I didn't realize at first that the inner light thing was part of the trap with the Alamarain thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in this room. I want to live in your quarters.
Because all of a sudden, like the box got blasted, and I was like, oh man, it's one of those things. But I didn't.
Where am I?
It took me like the second watch to be like, oh, that was part of the trap too.
And the inner light thing also, I think,
silly me.
Part of it's not silly. I don't think because
they were throwing a
lot. Salutations, fiddle dee wah, weedle dee da.
Eat a bag of Borg dicks.
Well, the thing is it's not the third.
Eat a bag of what?
What did he say something about? Eat a
Borg
bag
dicks.
Of Borg dicks.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Wait.
Greetings and salutations. Fiddle dee dee wah, weedle weedle dee da.
I don't think he said eat a bag of Borg dicks.
No, not in that one, but in the show he does.
In the show he says you didn't extract.
You didn't extract when he's complaining about like eating a bag of Borg dicks. And then
that was the one thing I didn't extract was about the Borg dicks?
Yeah, because they bleeped it because bleeped.
I don't pull the bleeped ones usually.
What do you mean you don't pull the bleeped ones? It's just as a matter of principle, you don't pull the bleeped ones.
Just because they're bleeped.
Yeah, but it was a funny joke because he was talking about Borg dicks, and then the follow-up joke was, oh, I didn't know Dr. Johanna came in here.
Well, maybe this will be the example that changes my rule. Maybe now I'll start doing it because I missed out on a wonderful line.
You should have pulled it. Maybe.
Well, all right. The other thing, though, that getting back to Jesse's point with the confusion about the inner light device, because I also...
Yeah, I didn't know why I was talking.
I didn't catch that to the second... to the second viewing of the episode.
That's a complicated trap if you have like...
It was called a Beta Z gift box?
No, that's separate. There's the Beta Z gift box, but then there was the inner light satellite thing, and part of the problem was is that when you watch the inner light, it looks like that thing is, I don't know, like 30 feet tall
big,
or something,
yeah.
Whereas this is just thing in a room that's like 3 feet across, which I guess technically you don't know exactly what the scale was in TNG, but you don't make a connection to it.
When you see something in space, you assume it's like 500 million kilometers away and super giant. That's basically the rules of space.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but it turns out it was just a few feet away, and 200 million kilometers, more like 2 inches.
But I mean, I guess
Dan's doing some sort of like duck movement with his head.
But I think, I mean, from the actual episode of The Inner Light, it doesn't look to me, it never looked like the thing was super huge.
But it didn't look like it was 3 feet either.
But like, yeah, like it's going to fit on your bed or whatever. Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm not trying to be a dick or nothing. I'm just saying, it's just
a little confusing.
You
off guard, so you're like, wait a minute, was that the thing?
Like, what's even going on there?
It's on the bed.
I don't think I've... ever seen the Betazoid gift box before?
It was from an episode of TNG.
That's what I'm saying.
And it was played by Armin Shimmerman.
That's what I'm saying is I don't remember that TNG episode.
I remember that it happened. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's
what
the one
happened.
Where Troy has her betrothed arranged marriage.
Oh, it's because it was the first season at one, I guess. Because I rewatched all of TNG about 10 years ago, and I just don't have any recollection of this episode.
Yeah, you come and do, buddy.
And that wasn't even the first time I've seen TNG. It was
you gotta
a rewatch.
Do it again, man.
It was first season.
I'll come over.
We'll watch it together. First season gets a little hazy. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'll come over, too.
We'll all watch it together.
Can we eat some popcorn and Jell-O?
Can we drink some pop?
You can drink some soda.
as they say outside of our local region, we don't call it pop.
We call it sody.
Out in some of the southern places, they call it everything Coke.
And they call everything Coke down in Atlanta.
So if they ask you for a drink, you're like,
I want a Sprite Coke.
I want a Coke, and they're like, do you want what kind of Coke? I want a Sprite Coke. I want a 7-Up Coke.
Can you get one of those Cokes with like the whiskey in it?
No, I'm sure you could, Jesse.
I don't like that. I like whiskey and I like Coke. I don't like putting them together.
I understand that, yes.
All right.
I
do like it dark and stormy, though, if we're talking of ginger ale.
Those are pretty good. Ginger ale's different. You can mix it with stuff.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
That was really great. I like that.
All right. Yeah, what that tells me is we didn't have you guys run around in the backyard long enough.
Guess what?
We'll take a bigger break.
Wait, guess what I labeled those two sound files as?
Beats.
I did. Those are beats.
Yeah.
Beats.
So is this one.
Bespoke Star System.
I don't know why that's a beat.
Bespoke Star System.
Oh, it's kind of like. Boop, 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 boop.
It is.
Bespoke Star System. Bespoke Star System.
I was wondering if this was going to happen in this break or if you were going to save it for the last break.
Oh, well, I can save more.
You could have done
no,
one
no,
with...
you don't got to save nothing. I was just in my own personal interest, you know, following your career as a podcaster.
Oh,
it's interesting to see when does the madness, when
it
does
just
the
kind
true
of,
madness
when,
begin?
When the opportunity presents itself, it just starts to happen.
I'm going to start listening back and doing a graph the madness and see.
I'm sure you'd get some good data.
We can adjust things.
So Lancelot got out when I was cleaning a snuggle tower.
That's labeled beat, but
what
beat,
about,
but I just like the
what
way
what about
it
death and or dismemberment? That could be a beat.
That was funny.
And or dismemberment. Yes. Yeah. And or dismemberment.
And or dismemberment.
And or dismemberment. Yes. And or dismemberment.
Yeah, man.
I think a lot of people already love
kind of 90s
Tallinn,
British jinx.
But make this, it make sense.
I can't.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes
are. Make it make sense.
I can't.
Where am I?
Oh, I was hoping to go on a little longer. It makes podcasting easier.
Make it make sense.
I can't
actually talk about it.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
Jesse and I can just sort of
make it make sense.
These bomb
tubes are.
Make it make sense.
Jesse looks so delighted.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
A big smile on his face.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
Instant.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes
make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes
make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes
make it make
are.
Sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
I'm not. I don't quite have it down, but I think I've done enough
I
practice. I've done, it's hard to. It's hard
time
to sort of time it.
Yeah. Well, you got to get to keyboard. That's the next step. You gotta add it to your little. Cockpit,
I think I could do it.
Cockpits.
I think I could get both of these.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes
make
are.
It make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes
make
are.
It make sense.
I can't.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
Interesting.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
Make it make sense.
I can't.
Make it make sense.
I can't. How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Make it make sense.
I can't. How deadly these bomb
make it make sense.
I can't. How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Make it make sense.
I can't. How deadly these bomb
make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes
make it make sense.
I can't.
I can't fucking hit them right. I keep moving the screen around.
You need to improve.
Okay, you got to you got to cut some of this out when it gets too long, Patrick.
Make it make sense.
Why would I cut
any
of this content?
Make it make sense.
I can't.
People don't
make it make sense.
We haven't this part of the podcast anymore.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Make it make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Okay, I'm done. I'm done. I did it. I did it.
Oh, I'm sure that passed the threshold into aggravating, but I don't know. This weekend. Kind of feeling it.
I think we have a dedicated fan.
I will be. It's episode 3.
I'll be okay. I'll be okay if you like insert some kind of thing over top and be like, I cut this a little short because
I probably won't. I think you know we endured this. I think the audience
has to as well.
You know, it's a shared experience. Sometimes podcasting, it's a communal thing.
I thought it was magical.
It's communal
Jesse.
Form
I really
of
art. Was enjoying every bit of that.
I'm so glad.
Sometimes with repetition,
but
you know,
I'm
when
a weirdo.
It's when it's all done, you don't remember it. It's sort of fades away into the background.
Yeah.
Just leaving behind an imprint of minor aggravation.
I thought it was the breeze, like the breeze.
Yeah, when
that doesn't really make sense, does it? It's rather vague.
Thinking of a tune is like having a dream. Like you think you'll remember it forever, but it falls out of your head.
Yeah.
That's what the problem. Danny Elfman was having that problem when he was writing the Batman theme. He was on an airplane and he was afraid he was going to forget it, so he kept going to the airplane bathroom and like singing little parts of it.
Doing coke.
And then like people thought he was being shady, but he was like, no, I'm just trying to record this awesome soundtrack that's people are going to remember until the end of time. Imagine if he just
how does it go?
Imagine if he
right.
And imagine if he didn't have a recorder on him and he just forgot it. It could have very well happened. You can forget that shit.
What would the alternate version have been? The alternate Danny Elfman Batman theme. How would it have gone if he had forgotten the original?
It would have been like
now, did he do that? Did he write that before The Simpsons or after The Simpsons?
The Simpsons, I think, was before. Well,
because it was about the same time.
It was about the same time. Hard to say.
It was a long damn time ago.
It was.
Besides the.
I'm pretty sure it was after. Batman was 1989, right?
They were both. Well, Simpsons started a little
maybe
earlier.
Maybe that was 88. Simpsons was 88,
yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows about that?
I think I was
schedules.
Like 10, so that would have been 88.
A long time ago. In a galaxy very close by. It was this
it's
galaxy.
The same fucking galaxy.
Same galaxy.
It was just a long fucking
both
time.
Both The Simpsons and Star Trek takes place in.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure. 1980. No, it said the first Simpsons episode was December 17th, 1989.
Oh, okay.
They're close.
There you go, Ben.
They're close. Okay. Star Trek Lower Decks. Other stuff about this episode. We haven't finished talking about the Alan Moraine stuff. We just got distracted.
Well, that was pretty good.
Batman was released in June of 1989, so
Batman
came out.
Batman got on my nerves.
Batman came
he was
out
running
first,
me amok.
Which is why
Wesley Willis.
But what about the production? The production.
No, but I'm saying people heard this Batman tune before they heard the Simpsons tune, and that makes sense because I remember hearing the Simpsons tune and being like, "Oh, Danny Elfman wrote that." And
but did he write which one did he write first? That was my question.
Well,
not
I don't know.
What did the people hear?
I don't know.
The Pee-wee's Big Adventure version.
But I remember in my head being like, oh, that's Danny Elfman. And I remember it's because of Batman. Was around that time.
I didn't know who Danny Elfman was back then.
Okay, Danny Elfman is.
Hello, hello, I can't. Hello, lolly, 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 lolly. This is a terrible podcast episode.
I mean, what are you gonna do? Can't all be winners. They can't all be fucking winners. What are you gonna do?
Okay, Herman's dead.
No, no, this episode.
Sorry about that.
The Olive Moraine business, because
Olive Moraine.
We love Deep Space Nine on this podcast. It's fun when
you guys
the
do.
Other Jesse does.
No, I'm just
kidding. Jesse likes it too.
I do. I like that episode especially.
But
Chief O'Brien.
Move Along Home, the Deep Space Nine episode Move Along Home, which for a long time
it was nominated for an Emmy for the best hairstyle.
People
lemon meringue.
People decried it as being, or listed it as being the worst episode of Deep Space Nine, which I don't agree with.
Those people are trolls.
Yeah, I don't
and I think that. I think that that episode has recovered in recent years when people watch it and they realize actually no, it's kind of fun. It's probably just made people uncomfortable back in the day.
Lemon Meringue.
Because it is a little awkward seeing the people hopping around.
Lemon Meringue.
Yeah, doing the little dance.
Well, we reference it often. When we say Move Along Home,
we do.
Do you think that what was it? A Night in Sick Bay on the Enterprise. Do you think that's one of the worst Enterprise episodes?
Was that bad?
No.
Do people say that's bad? Is that the one where Archer is like, you know, he's sad because of his dog is sick.
Yeah, and,
yeah.
Then he also
talk about that.
And then there was some kind of sexual tension with him and like T'Pol or something like that. He was talking to, not between him. Well, not about,
he was talking to Phlox about like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Phlox like clipped his nasty toenails and
Phlox
he had, like,
was doing weird stuff at night.
I don't know if that was necessary.
Because he doesn't sleep.
I don't know that that was necessarily the worst episode in my opinion, but like I believe.
I like it because you get to see Porthos floating in goo.
Yeah, that's fun.
It looks like they drowned the dog.
Yeah, poor tortured dog.
The first episode
episode. I've read on the internet a few people have expressed that they weren't big fans of that episode. Right. And I was like, there wasn't a lot that happened in that episode. But anyway, we're talking about the worst DS9 episode, which is actually not the worst DS9.
I was going to say this digression at least has the virtue of being about Star Trek.
Yeah.
just not this episode of Star Trek. But they
totally.
All
man.
Of that is just to say we
What was it you were gonna say? We're gonna say
it's fine with
it's fine to do it.
It's fine to do
Deep Space Nine episodes.
Yeah, it's fine to do Deep Space Nine.
It's fine to do Enterprise episodes.
Yeah, it's fine to do them. Mm-hmm. No. What we were saying.
Thank you.
Well, this is all a roundabout way of saying.
Yes.
It's time to take a break.
It's not almost time, but not quite. It's a roundabout way of saying that it's fun to see more and more Deep Space Nine references on modern Star Trek shows. Lower Decks in particular has been good. This is not a particularly deep cut for a lot of people, the Olive Moraine stuff, but it wasn't like a brief little one-off. They made Rutherford.
Yeah.
Rutherford trips and falls and gets trapped in this Olive
Moraine. With that box.
I did think
the
it was...
The Beta Z box is with him.
Yeah, I did...
Like I said, I don't know if we need the box, but...
I think it's an added bonus.
I did enjoy like him like sort of begrudgingly sort of going through the
hopping
whole thing.
Through all quick.
And then he had to jump off the bench
and
go,
and the
no,
Wadi, that Wadi guy.
He's
got
like,
all
hurry
sad.
Up, motherfuckers.
Because like Rutherford
how
was like...
How familiar are you with the Wadi Chula game?
Yeah. Because Rutherford was all like, yeah, fourth chap. I gotta go.
Yeah, right.
And the guy was like, because he wanted to keep fucking around with him.
Yeah.
That Wadi, whoever the Wadi fellow was.
I guess the box was with him just to sort of provide sort of audience like
audience
kind of added, commentary just be like it's like the audience being like what the fuck is going on you know but that was the audience
it was like cussing
the audience stuff. was speaking through the box basically the box was the audience being like what are you doing
hurry up motherfucker
he had to have someone to explain what he was doing to like when he jumped off the cliff gag at the end like that was like he's like I gotta do it or whatever he said I can't remember what he said
It was good. I very much enjoyed it. Like the box is fine. I don't know. I don't
What's
know why
in the box.
I don't know why the box aggravated me. It's a little bit, not a lot.
Well, it's a creepy box. Just a little bit. But I thought it was still funny.
It was just weird that he was like having to carry this box around.
It was surreal.
Anyway, okay. So yes, that was cool. The other stuff in the room, the spider that would chop your hand off or whatever.
Head fall off and skitter about.
He goes, "This looks dangerous. Don't fall, Rutherford." And he goes, "We got to." And they're like, "Whoa!" I'm sorry. What were you talking about?
Don't touch that. Do you want your head to fall off and skitter away?
Precisely. The idea that they thought this was a funny prank to play to trap this guy in like sort of two different levels of.
That's kind of fucked up.
I don't know how they thought that would be a good idea.
What's funny, what's funny to me is that I bet one of the writers, the first thing they said is like, what if they had him do that thing they did to O'Brien where he lived 20 years in prison in his mind?
Chief O'Brien!
And they're like, no, that doesn't work on Lower Decks. That's not funny
but
enough.
But it's interesting, what if multiple people have experienced what Picard has experienced? From one of those the satellite anomaly things.
Which would make sense, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm always...
For the principle of that, the goal of that thing.
They're floating about, yeah.
That goal of that thing was to spread knowledge of that culture.
I know this is the whole point of that whole, you know, living a whole life thing, but they've done it in other shows. I think they did it in Rick and Morty, too. But that idea that you're...
Roy. They play that game, Roy.
Yeah, right. But like, when you watch...
Taking Roy off
when you watch...
He doesn't have a social security number or anything.
When you watch someone from the outside, and in a blip, they just lived a whole lifetime, they're like... Oh my God, that always like really fucks with my head. Like it really makes me uncomfortable to watch that
it's
shit.
It's some cosmically fucked up shit.
Yeah, and when Picard came back and
tricky thing to think about.
Inner Light, he's like, well,
it hurt. The human mind can't handle that stuff. It's hard to fathom.
I don't know. Should we give spoilers for Inner Light?
Well, we'll probably never talk about it.
It's old enough. We're not going to talk about it. I don't know. I mean, the spoilers are. I don't know what spoiler you could give that's not already implied.
Well,
in
just
what we've
like
already talked about.
Right. Well, just when he wakes up from the thing, and then he was like 20 minutes or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
When they tell him how long it's been, he's just like,
25 minutes.
Yeah.
But you know what? Won't take 25 minutes.
A break.
A break.
Well, how many commercials are we gonna have?
A patented It's Got Star Trek style break.
Please continue.
We will continue when we return from the break. Be right back.
Totally, my
man.
The
podcast never ends.
Be right back. Let's come back. Are we back?
Only friends or something.
did you say only friends? Is that a new business you're starting, Jesse?
No.
Okay, we're back.
Jesse, can you stop moving that?
No.
Sorry.
Okay.
Stop telling me what to do.
We've returned. We're back. Are we back, Dan?
We're back.
Okay,
we're back. Before we moved on from the point about putting Dirk in, playing a trick on him by putting him in the Alan Moraine
game. Banana pudding?
I was saying, like, why would they... That seems like a fucked up thing to do. But you know what? It kind of is on brand because, like, those Alan Moraine people were just like, oh, we're playing a fun game. Mm-hmm. And they, like, fucking trapped Sisko in some bullshit.
Third shot.
Well, they were really pissed that guy was trolling.
And, well, but the thing is, like, they casually just, like, captured somebody and put them in this horrible game. So it kind of makes sense that the crew of, like, Tendi and all them would be like... Yeah, it's no big deal. We'll just throw them in this game just like the Alan Moraine people did. What was their species called?
The Wadi.
The Wadi, that's
Wadi.
Right. Yeah, so the Wadi were all casual.
What are you talking about?
The Wadi were all casual about it, so why not, you know, why not we be casual about putting Dirk in it, you know?
Dirk.
Yeah, I agree.
Dirk the jerk.
I wholeheartedly agree. The whole thing with the whole like trap thing, it's not nearly as cool as it might initially seem. Although the Inner Light thing is a little extra. That's a little bit extra because that's like squirting a whole lifetime into somebody.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you got my point because my whole point was like they were following the same theme as the episode.
I agree with that. That makes sense to me. I didn't think of it that way. And you're right. That makes sense. It's the Inner Light thing is like a little bit of an extra. That's all I'm saying. It goes beyond.
It's definitely an extra.
Well, that had nothing to do with what I was talking about.
Yeah, but wasn't the implication that they were going to trap him both in the Inner Light? Why they had the Inner Light thing there.
Were they going to put him in the Inner Light?
I think the idea was it was like one or both. I don't know. It was not 100% clear. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say there's a couple things here. Again, maybe this fits in with my overall critique. Some of these things
didn't
quite follow.
That doesn't sound very Starfleet.
If different people experience the Inner Light business, do they experience different characters in that story? Or is it always the same
It might
dude?
Always just be the same.
Is it? It could be different, question. Or it could be like I'm completely different.
That's actually a good question because
different village.
Do they all get into place. Like helping trying to save the planet and like inventing sunscreen, right. or do some people become assholes and take advantage of the tragic situation to enrich themselves,
yeah.
And then they feel guilty because instead of learning about the culture, they destroyed the simulated version of the culture by causing some sort of ruckus.
I want to know this whole Lancelot situation because
he's named Lancelot because Billups comes from the
I know the
fantasy people.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't
I know.
Cool?
Yeah, that's great.
That's cute. They got dragon
Dirk,
ships.
Okay, making a point here. Dirk. Dirk was fucking with them the entire time. Yeah. We've established that. And then, so was Lancelot a part of the joke? Was that, or was that just incidental? Because according to Billups, Lancelot escaped. So Lancelot was like an added bonus that just helped Dirk's plan. Yeah. Dirk didn't, because it seemed like at first, like Dirk planned on throwing Lancelot in there to fuck with him. But that, like I said, that was just incidental because Lancelot just happened to escape.
Have we ever seen that Lancelot before? Has he ever been mentioned or have we seen
I'm not familiar.
So have we decided?
So that's just some extra stuff they just threw in.
So we decided that Dirk had no
extra chaos.
Dirk had no responsibility for Lancelot's role.
It's either a contradiction. It could be a contradiction.
I really appreciate it.
In that they just wanted to make both jokes, both that Dirk was using this. Was it a weasel or ferret?
Rutherford refers to
it as a weasel, but I think it was a ferret. Right?
I'm pretty sure it was a ferret.
Looked like a ferret. Okay, we'll call it a ferret. Well, I'll just agree that it's a ferret. Lancelot.
Why
the
does
ferret.
He have a pet ferret?
Some people
pets
real. Or like cute. A pet
they're
dragon.
They're cute.
Something?
It's kind of like a snake with fur, and it's got little soft, cold feet. And as it crawls
it
all over
like
your
fucking piss.
When ferrets crawl all over your body, like their little tiny little feet, you can feel.
Lancelot.
I don't like it.
Lancelot got out when I was cleaning a snuggle tower.
There may be a contradiction here in that they both wanted to have Billups look sad about losing Lancelot and have this guy using Lancelot for the hazing ritual.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's a contradiction. Or
like.
Or you change the headcanon up a little bit, and then it's headcanon. It's
done with a damn hand cannon.
Lancelot got out, and incidentally happened to be useful for this hazing thing. But,
I feel like it was the writers.
But Dirk also was showing he could command. Writers. He commanded Lancelot, so he could have gotten Lancelot and given it back to Billups at any time. Was he being a dickhead to Billups by not giving it back?
The third one was, did he set the whole thing up and make it look like an Lancelot escape?
Did he steal Lancelot?
Maybe you're onto something.
Yeah. I didn't even think that before.
But
it's true.
I mean, maybe that guy's just an all-round piece of something.
I think it was.
I'm keeping it clean, man. It's a new Jesse.
Jesse don't like working blue.
Yeah, I was cussing in the beginning of the episode. Now I'm going to.
What were some of the cuss words
you
used?
The F word.
You were effing and jeffing?
Yeah.
I think that it was. I tend to think it was the writers being inconsistent. Is what I tend to think.
Sometimes when you're writing, you have to decide: do we go for the funny joke or do we go for the consistency? Mm. Often you go for the funny joke or whatever. I'm fine with that. I think
that is not how I would have communicated the lesson.
I think it's okay. That's a funny joke.
Yeah,
the Talin joke was a very funny joke.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was actually clever.
Talin's pretty funny.
That was clever with the plot though, because when Boimler finally comes to the realization that he has to step up,
he doesn't take responsibility.
Oh, it's like, oh, it's her. You just got to do it. That was pretty funny.
And partly that's funny because he's not only delegating the task to the ensigns, he's delegating responsibility, at least in part, to Talin. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, he learned the lesson too well. He's like, you know what? I can shift some of the blame over to you. Mm-hmm. And that's the main thing you'd learn in management school is how to shift the blame onto other people.
The similarity is not inaccurate.
Exactly. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yes, so the whole Lancelot business, I think there's a lot going on here.
Whenever you say Lancelot, I always think of Lancelot.
Lancelot. So the best part is almost nobody in our audience is going to know about Lancelot.
Oh, good for them.
I think a lot of people know about Alf, and they know about Small Wonder.
Hey, Willie!
And they know about...
Hey, Willie!
Some people might even know about Car 54.
You got any cat?
I think almost nobody will know about Lancelot Link.
Hey, Willie!
Secret chimp.
Wait, am I losing it? Hey, Willie!
Lancelot!
Am I losing it?
You're losing it, baby.
Yeah, you're losing it.
I already lost it.
Hey, Willie! Got any cat?
That was good.
That was better. Yeah. It's been a while.
You gotta practice a little bit, and then next week you come back.
She's my number one mom.
Yes, Lancelot.
Lancelot Link was a show about a chimp. It was a chimp or an orangutan.
There's all sorts of stuff going on there. You all look it up. Go look up.
It's called exploitation.
Yes, go look up Lancelot Link.
It's from the
60s or something.
Lancelot. But, you know, this ferret called Lancelot. I think they were going for that whole, like, here's the funny, cute thing. This immediately brought to mind that episode of King of the Hill where there was a mongoose loose or Dale Gribble.
The one where Dale Gribble intimidated the DMV?
No, that at the Megalomart.
The Megalomart. He gets hired to
You mean the Megalomart?
Yes, the Megalomart.
No, the Megalomart.
And Dale Gribble.
Hank always calls it the Megalomart.
Yeah, and the Dale Gribble releases a mongoose in order to advance his little plan, and at the end of the episode they still haven't found the mongoose, but they show the mongoose in the ball pit, and it's a really cute, very interesting image of the mongoose in the ball pit and then slithering into the walls.
Is that the one with Chuck Mangione?
Yes. Well, there were a bunch with Chuck Mangione.
Did you ever hear that Dead Milkman song, The Woman Who's Also a Mongoose?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah.
Jesse's heard of it, I have not. But
it's on their album Not Richard But Dick.
The Lancelot thing was cute. I saw what they were going for, but like a few other things in this particular episode, I think it maybe didn't quite get there because I don't know. It just, we hadn't heard of this Lancelot before. When it was introduced, it was confusing as to where this thing was coming from.
It's just extra chaos.
And it didn't have the impact of, say, last week's Moopsie.
Moopsie.
Which Moopsie's become an international phenomenon.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Moopsie.
Moopsie.
And that whole character was set up really well. That is a very brief amount of screen time.
Moopsie.
But highly impactful. I think the Lancelot thing was a little less impactful, but I do hope we see Lancelot again in the future.
Well, Moopsie bent some serious business, you know, menacing.
It was quite seriously menacing. Mm-hmm. Menacing business.
Lancelot bites you somehow.
So, yeah, we were talking earlier about how the plot, it did come together with Boimler and Freeman. It was interesting. They were both working together to make things even worse. She fucked up the update and he fucked up the job. And then, like, the more she fucked things up, the harder his job. But the harder his job got, the more he wanted to do it himself because, like, he was, like, so in the weeds that he couldn't figure it. So, I mean, that was it all came
to
head.
It was a spiral, one of those.
Yeah, he was spiraling to the max, yo.
Problematic spiral.
Oh, I can't believe I just said spiraling into the max.
And
yo.
You kind of said
can
it.
I can believe it.
You said it a little sincerely.
Yeah, I know. I feel.
That's how you speak.
No,
man.
There's
no irony attached to that.
I feel actually kind of bad about that one.
It's all right. I mean, you know, edic, as they say, infinite diversity in infinite combinations. Even if they're sort
edic.
Of.
Everything that has ever occurred is science stuff.
This guy usually says dis-dick.
Yeah, dis-dick.
I won't ever say that again.
You probably won't say it on the podcast. Right, but I said it.
What won't you say again? What you just said?
What I said. Not what you said, Jesse. What I said.
What did you say?
You're not going to trick me into that. You're not going to. I saw that. I see you. I see you, Jesse. I see you, Jesse.
All this effing and jeffing. Yeah. Any other big major points about any of these?
Either big major points.
Any of these plot lines? Hey, everybody, what do you think about any of these plot lines? Do you have any remaining major points?
Is the cat guy named Taylor because he has a tail?
Is that his name, Taylor?
I didn't even catch any of their names.
Yeah, because when he was,
he was naming
ensigns. I think he
why don't
that one
you
was Taylor.
When are we going to get to do some of the mission?
Taylor and Meredith.
The Zinti. He's a Zinti.
I think
Zinti.
we're in max worked up mode tonight. Like, where's about? Is frenetic the right word?
Sure.
For what we are tonight.
It's one of multiple right words.
You could say we're in full, in the full form.
Fully turgid?
Fully
turgid form?
I don't think it's full form. Fully form. I think we're... Anyways, I'll just say we're in full form, and that's not necessarily a good.
I like how you know that's not the right term.
I'm just gonna go with it.
You got it. No, that's good. That's good. That's a good management tip. Sometimes even if you know you're wrong, just keep doing it.
Yeah,
go right ahead.
So I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but like if anyone has any complaints about us being a little bit too,
are you gonna give out your personal email address?
If anyone has any, no, I'm saying. If in the past people have expressed sometimes they feel like we're a little too off the rails, Not yeah. not often, but it's happened.
Yeah, but usually not good people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's usually fine it's to not talk the good
they
about
would
it.
Hate, it's fine to talk they about They would that, hate so. This episode of our podcast the most.
I think it's occasionally it's useful to, hate it the most. To have a culling. You know, yeah, just have a culling, just make it clear.
So purge.
Like, if you can't put up with us at our worst, you don't deserve us at our best.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. When we make actually interesting points.
I mean, I can imagine it could be unlistened. Like that whole part in the middle where I was doing the whole the beat thing with the Boimler thing over and over again.
You that, was,
wait, could you remind
brilliant.
Us? You remember, was again.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
How deadly these bomb
tubes are. That's reminding me of another
how deadly
clip.
These bomb
is there
tubes
clip from
are.
Another?
Make it make sense.
Like, I can't.
There's a previous episode
make it
of
make
Star
sense.
Trek.
I can't.
And that sounds
make
familiar.
It make sense.
How deadly these bomb tubes are.
Make it
how deadly these bomb tubes are.
The other one. I don't know. One of those sounds familiar to something else that you've played in the past.
Oh, in the past?
Yes, a beat, on a previous...
another beat?
I don't know if it's a beat one or not, but it just sounds familiar.
Like from an episode?
There's something about the cadence that's stuck in my mind.
Core.
No.
Core.
Core.
I'm like looking through my ones that are marked,
core behavior.
Marked beat.
It's chicken liver with grated cheddar. You know, with grated cheddar.
It honestly could be that one. That's kind of similar.
It's chicken liver with grated cheddar.
Grated cheddar.
With grated cheddar.
You know, I remember.
Not necessarily.
Patrick, when we were.
Most definitely.
Wait, when.
That's me.
Jesse, do you remember we were talking about this episode?
Yeah.
With grated cheddar.
Patrick, it was either you or Patrick who was saying that, like,
they
fucking,
didn't have enough cheddar in there.
No, well, yeah, but someone was also saying something about your favorite liver. You got to give them something nicer than liver. I was thinking about it. My cats go fucking crazy for, like, that liver-flavored cat food. It's like liver and
yeah,
chicken or liver and
like
something.
That.
They love that liver flavor, man. I'm just saying.
That's another good anecdote.
Just saying, like,
cats like
if
organs.
I was just criticizing what one of you two said that chicken liver was bullshit that they gave.
But you're talking about your cats and not Porthos.
Yeah,
who clearly wasn't eating it.
Yeah, but like it's his favorite. You were saying it's hard to believe. You were basically implying that it was hard to believe that chicken liver was Porthos's favorite.
I can't
and I was
remember
saying,
which one
and
of us said.
And one of you were saying, like, you shouldn't have given a chicken something better, chicken liver.
I don't
And I'm saying, cats, and I bet dogs chicken liver.
We record these good podcasts, job. and that's it. I don't remember what happened.
Yeah. So.
I probably did a bad job explaining how deadly these bomb tubes are.
it's something in my brain.
With grated cheddar.
No, it's not that. And now I'm really, it's just something
it
else.
Was
Jesus.
A fascinating spectacle.
It's gonna
I'd
drive
be
me
lying
nuts.
If I said no.
Fascinating spectacle.
Right. Ball on his
Dan
arm.
Can cycle through every single beat.
These aren't even all of them because on my other machine I have from this machine I'm using, this is my newer one, so it doesn't have all my files. My other machine has all my files. This one just has the last month or two.
I like that you refer to them as machines.
This is my machines, yeah.
Yeah.
Not devices. This device only has a month or so is worth. But my other one, I'm going through and normalizing all the sounds, and hopefully I'll just try to put them over on this new machine. It's not a new machine. It's actually an older machine, but like it worked.
That sounds complicated, man.
I don't know, man.
I don't even know anymore. Oh man.
This is great.
Oh, man.
Oh,
all right, what do you call it? Final call for any points. Let me look at mine.
I had one too.
I had one. It's a weak point. It's
okay.
A weak point, but I wanted to make it, which is Vexilon reminded me of Vectron from that Mitchell and Webb look, season 3, episode 5.
Thanks to Vexilon.
Where they accidentally, start believing in some sort of alien god named Vectron. Now,
we love Vexilon.
I don't think there's a connection here because there isn't. It just is sort of similar.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I haven't seen that many sketches of that show.
That Mitchell and Webb look is a very good program.
Yeah, it is good. That bit in the koala room we haven't brought
bitter in a bit.
The bit in the koala room.
Oh
so,
yes,
so
with
I
the Black Mountain.
So I recorded the koala was an interesting sound.
That was
and did you play it backwards? Did you play it backwards?
It is not your time, Bradford Boimler.
Isn't
that
no.
wild?
That's weird. The Black Mountain weird. Was what Shax was talking about.
Yeah, Shax.
No, fancy. It is not your time, Bradford Boimler.
Some kind of Twin Peaks shit.
The Black Mountain has also been referenced on other Mike McMahon programs, like Solar Opposites, for sure.
Wow.
But this season it was referenced, the Black Mountain, by a character. The most recent season, I should say, of Solar Opposites.
So this...
It is not your time, Redwood Boimler.
It sounds like they actually said those words backwards and then reversed it.
I think they did that. I think they did the old phonetic trick.
They did a backwards reversal.
They did that on Taskmaster.
Flip it around.
They had a task based on that.
They did
Taskmaster. Season 10.
They did a backwards reversal and then reversed it.
So they flipped it and reversed it?
They flipped it. Exactly.
That's holograms.
There was this whole bit.
Tellarite slop jazz?
Oh, yes. That was amusing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody thinks of slops is about how much spit you can get to drip out of the nozzle.
I know. What was
this? I like
slop jazz. I wonder if Riker's all right, slop jazz.
Slop jazz?
I also, this slop was jazz. Kind of funny when he was all like,
Fats Bizertack.
That was because, like, there's always some old jazz guy named Fats, you know? There's Fats Waller, and then there's Fats Domino, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Flizzpop is really more of a bastardization of modal scuzz. But he overdosed on Ketracel White.
And then there was, of course, this.
Brizzle's
flarts.
Yeah,
you know, it sounds wet, and that is what I like.
Yeah.
This whole, when I was listening to this whole conversation, it reminded me of just listening to Dan and Jesse talk about shit.
How familiar are you with the Wadi Chula game? Fats Bizertack. All right, slop jazz? You know, everybody thinks of slops is about how much spit you can get to drip out of the nozzle. Flizzpop is really more of a bastardization.
Yeah, you know, it sounds wet, and that is what I like.
What nozzle is he talking about? That's the worst part.
Other stuff, Dan.
I guess it's a spit valve. It's a spit valve.
What other stuff you got in there, Dan? What other stuff?
I've got not too many more stuff.
So. No, I want you to have as many more things as you want.
No, I do. I don't actually know that I have that much.
Do you have a whole bunch of jokes?
I mean, I got some sounds that aren't that interesting. Like
those hazers only respect hazing.
It's not that interesting.
Yeah, well, you're right. That wasn't that interesting.
How about this one?
That is not how I would have communicated the lesson.
That. We already played that.
Which
one.
Which that one I did think was great.
Are you certain speed is necessary?
That's a funny one if someone's talking about, like drugs. Like,
oh, I had,
like,
yes,
wasn't
I hadn't
there
made
an
that
episode
connection.
Of Strange, was it Strange New Worlds where they were talking about cannabis or something?
Picard.
Oh, it was Picard.
Picard.
Yeah.
Well, they had, like, Snake Leaf.
They said, take his pot.
And
well, he's like, are you talking about cannabis?
Seven of Nine was talking about cannabis. So they have Snake Leaf and cannabis.
Yeah,
but,
maybe Snake Leaf is different.
But they don't have...
Well, Snake Leaf is definitely different.
But they don't have the internet.
Yeah, they don't have the internet in Star Trek.
But they got, like, them holograms.
Have you completed your confidence-boosting ritual?
That was all right.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound very Starfleet.
I already played that once.
You are boss, Boimler.
That didn't really apply to anything.
You're right. There's a series of fairly uninteresting sounds.
And these are actually the ones that I didn't label. I usually put colored tags on there to make them blue and green and orange and things.
I like learning a little bit more about your process because the audience may not realize that Dan does not reveal his process, and certainly not willingly, to Jesse and I. And he actually gets a little awkward and uncomfortable if Jesse and I just coincidentally happen to be walking behind him maybe to use the restroom.
I usually make a point of something. Like acting like I'm looking, but I can't really make sense of what
Well, Jesse started doing that after Dan sort of hovered and huddled. He started hugging his machines.
It's because with the way I write notes, it's like it's kind of embarrassing when people read my thoughts put out.
I don't actually ever read.
It's a bunch of silliness. It's a bunch of silliness.
See, the problem is you saying that only makes me
I know.
More desperate. To me. It's like, what kind of stuff do you write in code? And it's all like, yeah, poopy shit, fuck.
Yeah, it's how many times.
But that translates into some sort of eloquent point.
I'm sure. Yeah, it does. So
it means something to you.
But the reason I talked about the colors of the tags is because these boring ones I've played, as I went through them, I didn't label them with any tags. So
what do the different colors mean? It's like one color, like this kicks ass and is hilarious.
Well, so
must play.
So these tags not only were not terribly interesting, they weren't even interesting enough to give a category. So they are kind of the fallout. No, it changes from episode to episode. Green is always like the most conversational is the green ones.
Really,
things
like all about the green.
Because when it's stuff like
this, an example.
Yes, really.
And then there's
why.
And then there's like
sorry about that.
And then there's like
thank you.
And then there's like
yes. Oh yes, that's it. Totally, my man.
You see, those are like conversational.
Okay, so that's green. What's
light blue is the beats change color, but like because that's how beats work, they change color, you know. And but they're
is
mostly
this some sort of synesthesia thing.
pretty much sounds like it.
What are you talking about?
The reason I know beats is because I label them as beats.
Percussion is generally monochrome.
And there's Brown is random, sort of like extra fun weirdness. Brown is usually like a, like for example. Brown is like a point I want to make. It's like an interesting point I want to make that sort of doesn't fit into anything else. It's just
I think Dr. Miggly Moo would have some ideas, some thoughts about why you selected Brown to represent points you want to make. What color am I going to make the points I want to make? Just, hey, by the way, I'm not even criticizing you. It's just I'm calling it out because it's interesting to me.
Yeah, I don't know what
you'd think green would be like. Oh, green is like that's something I definitely want to get to.
Or red.
Well, green.
You have brown.
Well, I
like my most important points. I'm gonna label it fucking brown.
Okay. Well, green. I don't usually have favorite things, but like if you had.
What do you mean in life?
No, I mean when someone asked me like what's your favorite food, I was like I don't know. Sometimes I like this. Sometimes I like this. Why do we need favorites?
I tend to
always be very soothed by the color green, and the conversational ones tend to be the most prolific.
That's
types, so I like to see all that green on my screen. And brown, I didn't. It just kind of came to be.
Are they all earth tones? I forget. What are the other colors?
Well, there's some kind of
burnt sienna.
There's some kind of peach one.
Burnt umber.
There's peach ones that either go back and forth between sound or episode specific themes.
Are like, they peach or are they same?
Like so, this
a la moraine
and
Flizzpop is really more of a bastardization of modal scuzz.
And
how familiar are you with the Wadi Chula game?
Those are all peach because it's very episode specific. But like I said, the brown is like an exciting sort of extra thing that I want to make sure happens.
Truly and sincerely,
yeah,
it's fascinating.
And then the pink can be stuff like I don't know.
This is really
holograms.
Just sort of like general kind of funniness.
Whoopsie.
You know, pink. I don't know.
Chief O'Brien.
Is Chief O'Brien pink?
Chief O'Brien is orange, but that's just because that's legacy color. That's a legacy color when I first started, I never migrated it to pink.
You don't update your...
No, because Chief O'Brien is sacred.
This is even
Chief O'Brien.
This is even more interesting because I don't know what his setup
Chief
looks
O'Brien.
Like. I only see the backs of his machines and his screen. Yep.
But it's interesting. The sounds and the beats tend to alternate between light blue and yellow for the sounds. Because I have a whole one with sound, which is just kind of like... or like it'll be like an explosion or something, but those change. So, but the ones that are really green is always green.
Yeah,
it's always like conversational favorites, conversational, prolific, very general purpose, good to use.
I like these back behind the scenes segments.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
we learn more about because we learn with the audience.
Yeah, isn't
next
that exciting?
Next week we'll learn more about Jesse's whole setup over here.
Yeah, because like as the audience, they're like, oh, these people already know like kind of what they're getting at. Well, first of all, no, we don't necessarily because we don't really talk much about the episode before.
I mean, we do. We assiduously avoid trying to talk to each other at all.
Yeah, just about anything, right? Yeah. We just avoid each other.
I wasn't even listening. What was it?
Our relationship is only. Only tenuously threaded together by the virtue of this podcast existing.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Vexilon.
That's right. All right. Well, I don't think I have any.
But this was a moment where the audience knew just as much as my fellow podcasters what was happening in my head.
Okay, good. There's still a debate as to how much of our heads we should be letting out into the public.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I don't got much to hide, man.
Keep it to yourself, man.
I'm not going to tell you about some kind of weird medical shit, but like, you know, like... But, you know, how I think...
So, like, my nose
by the way,
is
audience,
really small.
Dan means he's not going to tell you on the podcast. He will tell us during the break sometime. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, yes. That did kind of happen today, didn't it?
Yes.
But,
I went to the doctor to check on my third eye.
Okay, well, I think that we've concluded all our major
I'm
points.
Stuff.
About this episode.
Nobody has three.
Good episode. Entertaining episode. Mm-hmm. I think a little weak compared to the first couple of the season, but...
You mean our podcast or the episode?
Oh, no, the podcast is shit, but like the, the actual Star Trek episode, the Lower Decks episode is good. It's a good episode.
It's not.
Lower Decks is such a high quality show that the clunkers are still very... I don't want to call it a clunker. You know, it's highly interesting.
It's not clunky. It's just
yeah. It just feels a little off. You know, yeah. you get spoiled by like all sorts of brilliance. So it feels a little off.
Rutherford always has like these cool little weird lines, like
I know I would, and I already did.
Yeah,
that's like a Rutherford line.
Well, Eugene Cordero is just fantastic. Oh, yeah. I mean, all the voice actors are great, but Eugene Cordero infuses so much personality into the Rutherford character. We're very lucky to have all these folks playing, you know, Noel Wells and
Fusey folks.
Sorry about that.
I like how he says that. Sorry about that.
Okay, so next week we will be discussing more Lower Decks. In this case, it'll
more
be
Lower Decks?
Yeah, more Lower Decks.
More Lower
Decks. less Upper Deckers, more Lower Decks.
Yeah, it'll be the fourth episode of the fourth season.
And higher level.
It's titled Something Borrowed, Something Green.
Something green.
Kermit the Frog.
Wait, what's this from? I'm thinking of something. I'm thinking of something orange. Guess what? And he goes, can you guess? It's an orange. And he goes, I'm thinking about something blue. Something blue. Do you know what that's from?
No.
That was from Stanley Spadowski from UHF.
I honestly don't remember. I love UHF, but I don't remember that.
Something blue.
I remember a lot of other stuff from that movie.
I didn't
but
get
not
the.
That particular
I kind of. I kind of butchered the lines, but yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. But yes, Something Borrowed,
is that
Something
Michael
Green,
Richards?
And
unfortunately, yeah.
So that implies a wedding episode. So I think we can be expecting.
Wait, how does it imply a wedding?
Because
episode?
It's something borrowed, something green. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Western European culture for weddings, you often will suggest that you need something mm-hmm. borrowed and something blue.
Blue.
But in this case, it's something green. Blue. So maybe it's a Tendi wedding. Maybe we can infer that Tendi has is betrothed to somebody and is forced to marry them. And maybe she accidentally marries Rutherford instead. Mm-hmm. I hope these aren't true because then I guessed it all. The plot. I don't want to guess
Sorry
the plot
about that.
From the title because I have no knowledge. I haven't seen any previews. So we'll see what's going on.
Right.
But regardless, that's what it's called. And that's what we'll be discussing next week. And in the meantime, you can find us on social media, on all the social media places, at It's Got Star Trek.
Yes, really.
And you can email us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Why?
With any complaints, compliments, questions, etc.
Yes, that's it.
You can record a message to us at www.itsgotstartrek.com/record.
Oh, thank God.
And we will play it on the air and respond to it. What else can you do? Well, you can go to www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Maybe we could try it?
You can link to all the fun podcast places there. You can sort by season or sort by series if you want to look. If you just want to listen to all our Lower Decks coverage, hey, we've covered all of Lower Decks from the premiere of the first season. So,
totally, my man.
Website's a good place to find out. You know, sort through that and find all that stuff. But
who's ready to be careful?
All that being said, all that end matter, back matter.
End matter.
The end matter.
I don't know why it sounds kind of nasty.
It's like in a book, you know, the end part of the
I think
book.
Of end matter as like the leftover like guts of a lobster or something.
Okay, well, it's probably...
You're gross, dude.
It probably does adequately describe that as well. But, okay, that's it for us this week. We will be talking to you again next week. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Fascinating. A mountain or possibly a volcano has appeared. Ah, it is a volcano.